Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Who do we have left? Britney Spears. Cam Kardashian. Paris Hilton. Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global.
I mean, the lines are blowing up.
Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E.
Oh, look at you!
All right, honey, buddy, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Here, hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Point is powerful. This is a no-win situation. I'll give you a call in about an hour and a half. You know what I mean? I survived it, and I'm at the end of it.
I know I missed my cue, didn't I? I'm sorry, y'all. I missed my cue.
Yes, you did.
Okay, I will. Okay, rewind. Sorry about that. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Good morning, Kadesh Tehunin. Good evening. We are global. We're heard around the world. We have a very special guest today that Ellen's going to interview, author Ken Farmer, into the studio. I also looked at a little background about he mentioned a legendary deputy U.S. Marshal, Bass Reeves. You know who Bass Reeves were? Don't you, Ellen?
Yeah, when he the Lone Ranger?
He was a Lone Ranger. So I hope you touch on that because I am a big fan of that. All right, but Ken is here, and I wanted to let you know that Ellen will be taking the interview, and she'll be welcoming author Ken Farmer into the studio. It's Monday, and you're listening to Hammer and Ellen.
Yeah, we have another special person in the studio, too.
I see the chefy. It's a great special guest, a celebrity chef, Charisse Kateri-Cox is here. I see it. Oh, it's nice to see that name in the morning. Well, welcome to the show, everybody. It's Monday and Hammer and Ellen. That's me and Ellen. We'll be welcoming our first guest. It's a double header today, author Ken Farmer, into the studio. Mr. Farmer is here promoting his Western series. Is it Psych Justice or
Silk? Silk Justice. Yep, Silk Justice.
S-L-I, how did we get a K in silk? Is it my eyes? S-I-L?
Silk.
Silk. No, it's not. S-I-L-K, isn't it?
Yeah, S-I-L. But you just added an E to it.
Oh.
To make it different.
Okay, just to mess with. Did he just leave? Was he in the studio?
Ken dropped. Yeah, Ken dropped.
Jesus.
Okay, huh. Brian, you're gonna play Ken. I'm gonna interview you.
All right, go ahead and interview. I'm Ken Farmer. Go ahead. We do this when our authors drop and everything, so we don't disappoint everybody. So I will be Ken. Oh no, Ken's back.
He's back.
But ask me a couple of questions as Ken. Ask me a couple of questions as
okay.
Ken, because this is what happens when our guests. Ken is back.
Yeah,
I know.
Welcome.
But usually, when our guest leaves and we have a guest set up. So either Ellen and I will be the guest, but go ahead, ask me a couple questions, and I'll be Ken for just two questions. I'll be Ken. Go ahead. And
okay.
Here's how Ken
welcome
will answer.
Welcome to the studio, Mr. Farmer.
Oh, thank you, little lady.
You're welcome. Well, tell me about your series. Tell me about Silk. Who is Silk? And well, why did you
did
pick
it,
that
I,
name?
I picked a name because I put a E in it.
Yes, I know you put an E in it, but why did you put an E?
Well, I put an E in it because of, in the old Western days, we like to put our E in everything. We call it brandy. So that's
okay.
What I like to do when I hang around the Western people and my ranch. And I spell the ranch with an E.
Okay. I was reading your a little bit about your series, and
sure.
It says that Silk, he was trained by Bass Reeves. Mr.
Yeah.
The Lone Ranger himself?
Right.
Tell me about that.
Well, he was a Lone Ranger because he didn't take a bath. He kind of stink and nobody wanted to be around him. That's a little tidbit that people don't know. But, yeah, he hung around. The Lone Ranger was a deputy marshal. Next question.
Ah, okay. Well, you know what? That's it for our interview.
Well, you know what? You suck. The show sucks. I'm sorry I'm on this show. Don't ever contact me again in an email. I will have my attorneys get a hold of you. This is the suckiest interview. And that's how the interview will probably go. And now let me read it because Ken is here. I will find you, hunt you down with a posse, and put a rope around your neck. If you ever make me
get
do this
rope.
Interview again.
Get a rope.
Get a rope.
can I have some paste picante or paste chunks of salsa before
whatever.
You hang me?
Whatever. I'm going to punch a doggy and I'm going to punch you. I hate this interview. All right, here we go. Ken Farmer is into the studio. Mr. Farmer is here promoting his Western series, Silk Justice. If you'd like to join us, the number is 319-527-6099. That's the number. It'll get your voice into the studio and get your voice heard around the world. Ken Farmer didn't write his first full novel until he was 69 years of age, 69 years young. He often wonders what the hell took him so long. At age 79, he released novel number 32 with Bucks. This is why you read, Ellen. I'm thinking it's there's the E again. There's the E. What is with the E with Ken with the E? I want to say Buck Stinky,
Dink?
But I know that's not Buck Stinky.
Dink. It's Dink.
It's what?
Dink. That's
Dink.
Spelled like Dink.
There's
yeah,
the
we,
E again.
We can ask.
Yeah, you're
going
to have to ask him. All right. Sin No More, July 5th, 2019. Number 9 is the Bone and Lorraine spinoff Nation series. Steel Dust by Ken Alone started the Bone and Lorraine spinoff with modern day detectives Bone and Lorraine being accidentally transported back in time to 1898. Currently, Whip is number 33.
Yeah. It's
currently
work in progress.
Oh. I knew that. It just didn't have an E in it. He threw me off. It's number 33. Silk's Ride, a spinoff from the Bone and Lorraine series. All the Silk Justice series are by Ken Alone. So Silk and Haven Justice are tasked by the Pinkerton detective agency to track down and eliminate a red sex slave ring in the New Mexico area. Young Indian girls and some whites are being kidnapped and sold to bordellos. They are assisted by Bone and Lorraine and Deputy Sheriff Nathan. There's the E, Tyree. There's two of them. Two E's in that one of Santa Fe, along with Bear Dog. Not only do they have to deal with vile criminals, but also with the evil skinwalkers of Navajo legend and lore in the Vowels.
Vowels.
Is it Valley?
Vowels. Caldera. Val Caldera of New
yes.
Mexico.
Yes. What are skinwalkers? Where do they come from? Read Angel Justice to see how Silk and Haven deal with both the physical evil and the Amerindian
world of
mystic evil. So I'm going to sit back, listen to the interview. I'm going to talk to Charisse, and we're going to be listening to the interview. And now
you can't talk to Charisse if you're if you're listening to the interview.
Yes, I can. But Charissa and I are going to sit here, sit back, and let Ellen take the interview. And this is going to be an exciting show, and we're going to find out why he's obsessed with ease. That's what I'm concerned about. Don't forget to ask about Bass Reeves. That's two E's in that one. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm stepping out. Ellen's taking the interview.
There's three E's in that one. There's three E's in Reeves.
You are really...
I haven't had my coffee yet.
Me either. Ladies and gentlemen, Ellen, let me introduce the number one co-host in the morning, Ellen. Wait a minute, I got to get your applause. Ellen Johnson, you're going to take it away, and you're going to introduce our guest today. Ellen Johnson, everybody. You
thank
narcissistic
you.
Woman, you're just waiting for the applause. You weren't going to. You are so needy.
You told me I was
going to. The applause was for
applause.
Him. Okay, hold on. Oh, my God. You are so needy. Waiting for my.
No. Welcome to the studio, Mr. Ken Farmer. Good morning.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Thank you, thank you.
You didn't realize that you were already here, did you?
No, I didn't. I've been enjoying myself.
Yep. Yeah, you said you were going to get a restraining order at me, but we're going to get right to it. So,
shall I clean this up first?
No.
Oh, okay.
Nope. No, Silk Justice. I was reading, and
no,
he's 22
okay,
years old.
That's the first part. It's not silk. It's silky, which has nothing, zero, nada, zip, zilch, to do with the cloth silk. It's a derivative from Latin for cilia, which means heavenly.
Okay.
So it is silky as a name. And actually, her middle name is Diane, which means divine. So her name is Heavenly Divine Justice.
Wow. So, okay. So you straightened me
out. Now you know.
Out.
There will be a quiz, by the way.
Ah, okay. Well, Brian better be listening. So, yeah,
take
us
notes.
About.
Yeah, you better take notes or record this. Take notes or record this because I may not have heard some of this before.
So tell us about your character, Silky. So who
Silky,
is he?
Yeah, this is the thing. I like to write about strong women in my westerns. The first one I wrote about was a Marshall Fiona Miller, a true, real person, and she was the only deputy marshal to work the Indian nations under the hanging judge, Isaac Parker, in the 1890s. Only one female deputy marshal, and nobody had ever written about her, so I did. And her books, and it was called Lady Law, and it progressed through spinoffs to Bone and Lorraine, then to Silky Justice. And in the process of doing research, which I am very particular about being accurate in my historical presentations, even though some of my characters are fictitional, that the Pinkerton Agency hired their first woman in 1854 as a detective. And there have been many Pinkerton. Now, Alan Pinkerton, of course, you may or may not know, and you probably don't, that he founded the United States Secret Service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just after Lincoln was assassinated. Kind of a little slow on the draw there. But he had hired many women, so I picked a woman to be, and her hero, so to speak, was Deputy Marshal Fiona Miller, who also worked with Bass Reeves. And
Mr. Lone Ranger.
Many people do think that, because there were so many similarities between his character and the fictional character created in 1934 by two radio DJs. See, look what you all have to live up to. Two radio DJs in Detroit, and the majority of Bass Reeves' felony convictions were sentenced to the Detroit Federal Correctional Institute. And they interviewed some of these old-timers in there, and they all would talk about Bass Reeves, and the next thing you know, they have created a fictional character of the Lone Ranger. But since Bass was black,
yeah,
that means Negro, in 1934, it was a no-no to have a black hero.
Yeah.
So they put a white man in a black mask to create a fictional hero. But there are so many things, you know, he had the silver bullet. Bass Reeves would give out a silver dollar to people who helped him. And just, there are so many things. I could go on, but that's not why we're here today. I don't think. I think we're here to talk about Silky.
Yes, we are here to talk about Silky. So tell us about Silky. Tell us about, you know, her character and why you chose a woman in, you know, especially in that time era, you know, where women.
Well, yeah, I like to do that simply because that not too many people do. Everybody's writing about the Flints and the male hero, the single cowboy riding across the prairie, saving the day. And, you know, Louis L'Amour, you know, all of the old, you know, cowboy or Western novels, all about guys. Well, you ladies, and I'm a big fan of ladies, need your day in the sun also. And so I elected to that many of my characters, like Bone and Lorraine, well, okay, that you have the man and the woman who were police partners, and he was like 6'8", and she was 5'3", but she could kick his ass in a heartbeat because she was a seventh-degree black belt kung fu. And she said, "Mom, I'm going to hurt you." She said, "Okay, King's X." So, but anyway, they wind up getting married in after they get accidentally transported back in time. And they're along with Silky to help her break this red slavery ring, which there were red slavery rings. There were yellow slavery rings, which they would kidnap, you know, the Chinese girls when, because all the Chinese that came over to build the railroads, they would kidnap the young women and put them in bordellos, and they lasted about 7 years, and most of them died or committed suicide. So it was Silky and her cousin, a look-alike cousin, except Silky has strawberry blonde hair, and Haven, her cousin, has sable hair. But she's 18 years old and she looks at Silky as her hero, and she wants to be a Pinkerton also, and she does become a Pinkerton in Silky's ride, actually at the end of it, I'm already on. I just released Angel Justice, which is the sequel to Silky's Ride, and I'm in chapter 7 of Skinwalker Justice, which is all about the Navajo Skinwalkers with Silky and Haven and Bone and Lorraine. It's a series. Think Walker, Texas Ranger. Think NCIS.
Yeah.
You know, it's on. And, you know, look at how many spinoffs NCIS has had.
Which
was actually a spinoff from JAG.
Yeah.
So they spun NCIS off from JAG, then NCIS Los Angeles, NCIS New Orleans, which is my favorite. Mainly because I have worked.
Everybody loves New Orleans.
Well, yeah, I you know a lot of people. I was an actor for 45 years. You know, film and television, and worked with Lucas Black in a movie called Friday Night Lights. And he and I used to joke on the set that him being from Alabama and me being from East Texas, said we were the only two people on the set who could actually understand what we were saying.
So getting back to your book, so tell us a little bit about Silky. You know, what was it like growing up as Silky, and why did she want to become a Pinkerton detective? What made her want to become a Pinkerton?
Well, like I said, that her heroine or her hero, however you know, want to do the gender thing, it doesn't matter to me. But from the age of 13, she would read about Deputy Marshal Fiona Miller, who became her hero. And when she turned 18, she tried to enlist in the United States Marshals as a deputy marshal. And they said, oh, you're too young and you have no experience. So she did hire on with the Pinkerton National Detective Agency, doing almost exactly the same thing that she would be doing as a deputy marshal. She was first under training with Chickasaw Light Horse. You know what a light horse is?
No.
That's a
question. What is a light horse? What is a light horse?
Those are Indian police. And the Chickasaw, all of the civilized tribes in the nations, the Chickasaw, the Choctaw, the Seminole, the Cherokee, and so on, they had their own police force. Because the Indian nations, the only people who could serve the law in the nations were United States deputy marshals. So they had, each of the nations had their own police force, and they were called Light Horse, one word. And she worked with a Chickasaw Light Horse, Red Wolf, who taught her how to track and you know, use bow and arrow and tomahawks and so on. As a matter of fact, she is inducted by the Chickasaw Nation into the Hatchet Woman clan of the Chickasaw Warriors. Now, the Chickasaw and many of the Indians and of the tribes in the nations, women were warriors also. And the Chickasaw had two clans, one being the Panther Woman clan that did the strategy and logistics for battles. And Hatchet Women would go into the battle singing beautiful songs, thus distracting the enemy, and then they would fall upon them with their tomahawks. And they were known as Hatchet Women. And
they were kind of like the sirens of the sea who would distract the sailors. And so that's what they, you know, they were kind of like that. They distracted them.
They were, you know, female warriors and were just had the same status as a male warrior in the Chickasaw tribe. And because she captured, and actually in the process of capturing, killed someone who had been a nemesis to the Chickasaw, And so they inducted her into the Hatchet Woman clan. She had to go through the ceremony in the sweat lodge and you know, drinking the peyote and seeing the visions and all this type thing. It's a day-long affair before she was inducted into the clan and given her own Chickasaw tomahawks, also wow. known as hatchets, of course. So she mm-hmm. always carried, in addition to her guns, that now she did receive from Bone, and since Bone and Lorraine came from 2018, and he carried a Smith & Wesson 500, which is a 50 caliber handgun, the largest handgun in the world. She said, wow. I want one. And so he arranged for the Chickasaw shaman, Anopheli Lewa, who was also a medical doctor, Dr. Winchester Ashilatubby, to go back to 2018 with Bone's godfather and retrieve another Smith & Wesson 500, bring it back to 1898, and give it to Silky. So she carries a 50 caliber handgun, a tomahawk, and she is bad juju.
Didn't it, you know, them going back, you know, coming back to our time and getting that gun and then going back, didn't that change any history? Or
no.
Didn't she get asked any? Oh, okay. She didn't get asked any questions?
No, they didn't. It's simply because I do back all of this up with the theories of the day from Einstein, who said the past, present, and future all exist at the same time. And the mm-hmm. Chickasaw shaman indicated, he said, we have an expression as Amerindians that if you return to the past, then you are part of the past and always have been.
Okay. So
that means that you cannot change the past because you were already there.
So,
all right? I can go for about 3 hours on that if you like. But I don't think you have that kind of time. So she does have a modern handgun.
Mm-hmm.
And so she uses her tomahawk. Actually, she used it in a particular fight in Silky Justice, the first one,
mm-hmm.
when she threw it and it almost severed a man's head from his neck because it hit him crossways across the throat. But
wow.
she has used it numerous times in fights because it's quiet.
Wow.
It doesn't go boom.
Wow. Well, you know what, Mr. Farmer? I can't believe how fast the time has gone by. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you
touch on
anything.
We've eaten it up already, and I just got started.
Yep. Well, you know what? You're more than welcome to come back after your next book is published, but right now I'm going to let you touch on anything that we might not have gone over. So,
well,
you know,
yeah, all right. Anything. I released 8 novels last year, and I mm-hmm. have released 2 already this year, and I'm almost about halfway done with the third one. And
wow.
all 3 of them, that'll be that Silky's Ride, Angel Justice, which went live today, by the way.
Oh, cool.
On Amazon. And
wow, congratulations.
I'm also, of course, working on my WIP is Skinwalker Justice. And it's pretty supernatural. There's a lot of the supernatural stuff with skinwalkers who have the ability to shapeshift into any creature they want. But they
wow.
usually pick the dire wolf, which was went extinct 10,000 years ago. They are a giant wolf, and they are like, oh, nearly between 200 and 300 pounds. And
wow.
That's what they can become. And most of the time they are evil, but there are some skinwalkers that are not.
Wow.
And they help the good guys.
So
now this is not all just fictional stuff. All of this is, you know, you can go back and find out about. Matter of fact, there's a TV show on right now called Skinwalker Ranch, where they're investigating all of the supernatural stuff that goes on there. It's in Utah, by the way.
Yeah. So where can people, you know, you have social media, where can they get in contact with you to find out more about your books, you know, Facebook, Twitter? Do you have any of that?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook, you know, Ken Farmer. I've got like 6 or 7 pages on Facebook. I don't use Twitter much. I do have a Twitter account. It's called PAGACT. That's PAGACT. And it's just, you know, however they do it. I hadn't figured out Twitter yet. And then, of course, on Amazon, I have my Amazon page, which lists all 34 of my novels.
Wow.
And also, actually, the first book I wrote was a book called Acting is Storytelling. And I wrote that because I taught acting for 17 years, and it was a how-to book for my kids. They called it their Bible.
Wow.
But it was a non-fictional book. But they're all available through Amazon. And also at my website, through the publishing company, TimberCreekPress.net. If they should happen to want an autographed book, now the books are free, but you pay out the rear end for my signature, okay?
Okay. Understood. I'm going to see if maybe Brian might have a question before you leave. You know, I can't believe that we came to the end of our time so quickly.
Me neither.
Brian, do you have a question before
Mr.
Farmer leaves?
Yes, I do. Good interview, Ellen. Mr. Farmer, I really enjoy looking at the synopsis of your book, and you also mentioned supernatural. I'd like to get into that later on because we have a lot of people interested in that, especially with the West and the supernatural. But your book, is it
well,
based on?
Let's do my next book, Skinwalker Justice, when I release it, probably in July.
That sounds good. That sounds excellent. You are invited back. You know, your stories, are they based on fiction or on nonfiction, or there's the characters with poetic license to exaggerate to make it a fictional book, or is it based on nonfiction, real life people?
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All of the above.
Oh, okay.
No, I do use factual people. Okay, like Bass Reeves and Fiona Marshall Miller, but I put them in sometimes in situations where they actually were historically. But
right.
Everything I do is in some historical location that, you know, says how far it took them to get from one spot to another and, you know, what creeks they crossed. I mean, everything is factual to the nth degree. Their horses, their tack, their weaponry. I'm a real stickler on being authentic and with dialogue.
It
drives me crazy when Western writers have a character say, okay. Well, guess what? Okay was not used until 1930. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I can see that. Well, I like the style of the book. I really do. Your book is in Amazon right now.
Right.
Angel Justice.
And on our website.
And on your website again, once again, sir?
TimberCreekPress.net.
Everybody go there, check it out.
They want a print book autographed, and, you know, like I say, I do charge you for the autograph, but the book's free.
Sure. How long have you been involved in Westerns? I mean, you seem like the type of man that just doesn't write about Westerns. Seems like when you were a boy or something, you lived it. Were you brought up in Texas, Montana, or anything, like New Mexico, anything like that?
No, I was born and raised in Texas, cowboy most of my life, ranched, raised cattle, quarter horses. As we say, I've had a few wet saddle blankets. Now, that's an expression we use. You spend a lot of time in the saddle.
Well, you're the real deal. You are the real deal. Are you a collector?
Yep.
Are you a collector of memorabilia of the Old West, or like Billy the Kid, or Jesse James? Seems like you would be some kind of collector of those memorabilia.
Well, not really. I do have a lot of that type stuff. A lot of it, however, that I do collect is Amerindian. This is why all of my books I do involve. Our indigenous, we stole this country. So,
right.
You know, and their history is just fascinating to me. Interesting things like the Chickasaw Nation, they have an expression that is Chihuahua Bayachi. Now that means go with God. Now Chihuahua is their word for the Great Spirit or God. Now what does Jehovah sound like?
Jehovah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It is
Jehovah.
And they've
Jehovah.
Used it for thousands of years. Where the hell did it come from, and how come it's so similar to the Jewish or the Hebrew Jehovah?
Very interesting.
Wow.
So you have great respect for the indigenous
Absolutely.
People. I feel that
they're
as much
heroes as my, you know, white people.
Wow, we could go on. I see that our time. I could go on and talk to you forever because I'm a big fan of the Western days. I'm a big fan of Westerns.
Right.
I am, and I could talk to you forever. I know that you want to promote your book. I want to just mention it again. We're here with Mr. Farmer and Ken Farmer. His book is
Mr. Farmer was my daddy.
Okay, we're here with author Ken Farmer. He's with us today. And the book we're talking about is Silky Justice.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It's now available on Amazon.com. Please support our authors. And this is the real deal. Ken Farmer is a real live cowboy. And you know what? We got these Hollywood cowboys, Ken. I mean, how you go Hollywood? Does these what I know the old days, but even nowadays with the Quentin Tarantinos and all this kind of stuff. I mean, do you think real Hollywood Roy Rogers, who was some of my favorite Roy Rogers? And there was one guy, he's a little guy. He was actually in the Army. Help me out, Ken.
Audie Murphy. The greatest hero this nation has ever known.
Exactly, and nobody knew about this. Can you tell us a little background on Audie Murphy? No, seriously.
Well,
Audie's from
Texas, a little town called Farmersville. He lied about his age to enlist in the Army in World War II. He went at 16. He was like 5'8" and weighed 105 pounds. And is the most decorated soldier ever in the history of the United States.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
This guy, if you see Audie Murphy's movies, man, he had style. This guy is tall.
He's cool. In fact, I watched Audie Murphy, a couple of nights ago. And I just enjoy him. He just got that moxie about him.
He does, doesn't he? He really does. Roy had a little bit of that too, but Roy was a little more sensitive cowboy kind of type. But
yeah,
you give
yeah,
me there.
Yeah, it was good. Of course, yeah. My favorite of all was Ben Johnson. Even though he was lead, he was the quote unquote, as you said, the real deal.
Right.
He was probably the best horseman ever in Hollywood.
Wow. God, we missed
and
those
he
guys,
was
man.
A personal friend of mine. I mm-hmm. did many Ben Johnson celebrity charity rodeos until he passed away in 96.
Wow.
And he gave me the greatest compliment I think I could ever. You could offer me an Oscar, and I would take this compliment from Ben Johnson first. He said after we were in one of his rodeos, he said, "Kenny, you're one of the best horsemen I've seen in Hollywood." I said, "Oh, damn, hang on, let me get a recorder. I got to record that." I said, "To have the Ben Johnson tell me that I am a great horseman." See, there are people who can sing and there are singers. There are people mm-hmm. who can dance and there are dancers. There are people mm-hmm. who ride and there are horsemen.
Mm.
Big difference.
So how many horses have you broke? Have you ever broken any horses on your ranch? Or I'm sure you have.
I don't break them. I don't break them. I train them.
Mm.
I don't like the when you break a horse, you're having to work on his spirit.
Right.
And as when I train them, I do it with love.
See, that's the
and
real deal.
I've never, ever had a horse that I was training to buck with me.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And because I give them no reason to. They buck because they're afraid or you're hurting them.
Right.
And I don't do either.
Well, Ken, do you go camping much? What are you doing now? I mean, you're an outdoorsman. You're the real deal. You're a cowboy. Cowboys. What do you do in your spare time?
Well, that's someone asked me, says, "What do you do for rest and relaxation in your spare time?" I said, "I write."
Yeah. Yeah.
When I found out at age 69, I could actually get paid for writing down my stories, which I say in my bio that I've always been kind of a bull artist. And now I can write and tell stories and people like them. Wow, who
yeah.
knew? And I'm 69 before I knew I could do this?
Yeah, what took you so long?
Dates the hell out of me. And it was kind of accidental. I'm not one of these, "Oh, I got to write all my life, I got to write." No, it just like, actually, I'd written, all actors write screenplays and teleplays
sure.
and so on. You know, said, "Yo, I can write better than this. Who wrote this crap?" And so I had written a movie and I directed it. We produced it and I had a buddy of mine from the Marine Corps. I'm an old jarhead.
Mm-hmm.
And he called me from Pennsylvania and says, "Kenny, I wrote a novel." I said, "Well, hell, John, good for you." He said, "Can you guys turn it into a screenplay?" I said, "Well, sure, send it down." So he sends down this 732-page novel called Verdict in Search of a Crime, kind of like today's modern politics.
Mm-hmm.
And he and I looked at it and I said, "Why the hell didn't you just send War and Peace?" And he said, I said, "You're not going to like it." He said, "Why?" I said, "Because your novel is 350,000 words.
Wow.
A screenplay is 25,000 words. Do the math."
Yeah.
But when I finished, I did get it converted in 3 months. And mm-hmm. I looked at my partner, Buck Steinke,
mm-hmm.
at the time. I said, "Hell, we can write a novel." And 3 months later, we did our first novel, which was a military action thing, kind of like Dale Brown. Black Eagle Force Eye of the Storm.
Mm-hmm.
And it won a bunch of awards and sold like crazy. And so we wrote another Black Eagle Force. Then we wrote, I had written a screenplay in 86 called The Nations. And I said, we can make a screenplay out of a novel. Let's make a screenplay into a novel. So
right.
We adapted that screenplay into a novel, The Nations, and it won Best Classic Western of 2014. And was the start of the series with Bass Reeves, which evolved into Silky Justice.
Love it, Ken. Like,
now,
like I said,
there will be a quiz, you know.
I think I will pass it because I was listening very carefully. Ken, our time is over. I could talk to you forever. Like I said, I'm a big fan of the West. I do want to invite you back, and I'm also interested in your book about the supernatural, too, on this particular ranch. So, Ken, what we're going to do is say goodbye, but not really goodbye, because I want to invite you back when you can. Thank you, sir.
Well, I enjoyed the singing and the big orange drink.
Well, thank you very much. And as my old pal Roy says, happy trails, my friend. And I'll see you again. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Ken Farmer. Get the book.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome, sir.
Thank you.
It's called
Silky Justice. Oh, the new one. Yeah, the new one, or the one that we've been talking about, Silky's Ride. And I just released Angel Justice. And I'm working on Skinwalker Justice. So it's all Silky and Haven Justice.
Well, I'm going to be a fan of it because I'm going to check it out myself. It would be a good, you know why
I say real quick that Silky Angel Justice, which was released actually yesterday, today was number one hot new release in classic American fiction, Louis L'Amour Westerns, and Western science fiction. It was hot new release in all three of those categories in one day.
Congratulations. Wow. Congratulations. Now, do you have grandsons and the woman and the little lady and family?
I've got two granddaughters. They live in Houston. One is 19 and the other is 12.
Congratulations, man. Congratulations. Rich family life. You know why your book is going to make it? Because it has heart. It's not this Hollywood bullshit. Your book has heart. And I'm sure with your wit, I'm sure there's some humor in your book, too. I really think.
A lot of humor. I create what I like to call hills and valleys.
Uh-huh.
Drama, pathos, action, humor, drama, pathos. It's up and down, all the way. When you get through, you say, wow, what a hell of a ride.
Exactly. Well, thank you, Ken, and I hope to see you soon. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Ken Farmer.
Thank you again.
You're welcome,
thank you very much.
Have a great
thank
day.
Thank you.
And thank you for the interview. Bye-bye. And we'll be right back with our second doubleheader coming up in exactly 5 minutes. The great Ken Farmer. Thank you. Ellen, great interview, and we're going to say goodbye to this episode. Again, the name of the book is called Silky Justice, the author, Ken Farmer. It's on sale now on Amazon. And I think he said something for free, so might shop around. He might get some free stuff there. If I'm with that. You taught me something. WIP, what is it in production?
Work in progress.
Hey,
yeah, did you hear that Mr. Ken Farmer, he worked with Lucas Black, and as you know, Lucas Black, he played Christopher LaSalle on NCIS New Orleans. He said that NCIS New Orleans is his favorite show. Yep.
He must be a cowboy. He must be a cowboy.
Lucas Black is from Alabama, but Mr. Farmer said that he was an actor for 45 years.
Wow. Well, we're going to talk to – I got a feeling we'll be talking to Ken pretty soon, especially his supernatural. I like to see how he could –
Fused the supernatural with the western. Well, that show that he was talking about, Skinwalker Ranch. I was watching a little bit of that episode, like last week or 2 weeks ago. It's on the History Channel. I mean, and it's really interesting. It's really interesting.
Sounds good, kiddo. Great interview, kiddo. Well,
thank you.
We're going to leave now, my little buckaroo.
Yes. Yes.
And we have another little show coming up. And thank you so much for a good interview. And I'll see you in about 5 minutes.
Okie dokie.
Ellen Johnson, everybody. Ellen Johnson. Ellen Johnson. We'll see you in 5 minutes, everybody.
Bye.